She Vidyadhara Huchuhu. The inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka prayed. Vidyam, mystic formulas by which one can appear and disappear. Pritak, separately. Dharanaya, by various meditations within the mind. Anuradhang, attained. Yashiddhat, stopped. Agyaha, this fool. Balavirya-driptaha, puffed up by bodily strength. And his ability to conquer anyone. Saha, he, Hiranyakashipu. Yena, by whom? Sankye, in battle. Pashuvat, exactly like an animal. Otoho, killed. Tam, unto him. Maya Nusingho, appearing as Lord Nusingadev by the influence of his own energy. Pranataha, fallen. Sma, certainly. Nicham, eternally. So translation. The inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka prayed are acquired power to appear and disappear in various ways according to varieties of meditation was banned by that foolish Hiranyakashipu because of his pride in his superior bodily strength and his ability to conquer others. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead has killed him just as if the demon were an animal. Unto that supreme pastime form of Lord Nrisimhadeva, we eternally offer our respectful obeisances. So there's no purport to this text, so I'll just read the next text with its purport. Text 47. Sri Naga Uchuhu Yena Papena Ratnani Sri Ratnani Ritani Naha Tanvaksha Patane Nasang. The inhabitants of Nagaloka said, the most sinful Hiranyakashipu took away all the jewels on our hoods and all our beautiful wives. Now, since his chest has been pierced by your nails, you are the source of all pleasure to our wives. Thus, we together offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. No one is peaceful if his wealth and wife are forcibly taken away. All the inhabitants of Nagaloka, which is situated below the earthly planetary system, were in great anxiety because their wealth had been stolen and their wives kidnapped by Hiranyakashipu. Now, Hiranyakashipu, having been killed, their wealth and wives were returned, and their wives felt satisfied. The inhabitants of various lokas or planets offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord because they were relieved by the death of Hiranyakashipu. Disturbances similar to those created by Hiranyakashipu are now taking place all over the world because of demoniac governments. As stated in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the men of the governments of Kali Yuga will be no better than rogues and plunderers. Thus the populace will be harassed on one side by scarcity of food and on another by heavy taxation by the government. In other words, the people in most parts of the world in this age are harassed by the ruling principles of Hiranyakashipu. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yenatas Mai Sri Gurave Namaha. So Prabhupada made a very interesting statement. He said, if one goes to Lanka, they become Ravana. You know what that means? Now, that doesn't mean if you just, like, take a boat or a plane and go to Sri Lanka. That means if you get power position, guess what happens? Yeah, you become, if you're not Krishna conscious, you become demoniac because you become attached to that. And the interesting thing about power and position is in the material world, our desires are unlimited. The more you have, the more you want. Right? It's like taking, like the example is throwing gasoline on a fire to put, or petrol on a fire, as you say here, to put a fire out, then it becomes further inflamed. So we see this with these demons. As soon as they get power, they want more and more. And of course, we have Ravana, who kidnapped who?
Sita
Devi. I mean, the universal mother, she kidnapped. He kidnapped. And then here we have Hiranyakashipu kidnapping everybody's wives. It's pretty heavy. So, therefore, in the modern day system of government, you don't have the checks and balances that it would keep someone from becoming demoniac. What do I mean, checks and balances? You don't have a system whereby if someone becomes like demoniac or not acting for the interests of the country, can be thrown out or even killed. Of course, you have coups. You know what a coup is? You don't know what a coup is. Like in Fiji, they have regular coups. A schedule. They have a schedule of coups. Isn't it like every 3 or 4 years is a nice coup? So a coup, excuse me, a coup is when you have a revolution in the country that all the citizens rise up and they say, these demons are in charge of the government. We're going to kick them out. And they kick them out, and guess what happens? Another group of demons takes their part. I mean, I remember during the 1970s, we were preaching in the universities in America, and there were a lot of Iranian exchange students. Previously in Iran, you know where Iran is? No. It's not a person who runs Iran. It's a country in the Middle East where they have a lot of Muslims, all Muslims. And there was one person who was like a king in charge. He wasn't a king, he was Shah. Just like in India, you have the name Shah. Right? That's a Gujarati name, isn't it? So, he wasn't Gujarati, don't worry. He was a Muslim. So, it's like I have a friend who's a doctor, Bungsi Shah is his name. Anyway, so what happened is the students, because usually revolutions happen from the young people. The old people are too worn out to have a revolution. That's why I'm concentrating on both of you, because you can change at the world. Whereas everybody else, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, as they say. That Prabhupada said that. No, that you're not old, old dogs, don't worry. So, the students, they wanted to have a revolution against the Shah, because the Shah was exploiting the people. I mean, he actually was torturing people, exploiting the people, and everything like that. So, they started this big revolution, and the students, I was talking to them in America, because they were attending the universities. And they would say, yes, we'll get rid of this demon. And when we get rid of him, everything will be ecstatic. And I said, really? I said, you're just replacing one demon with another demon. And I said, no! It'll be like Vaikuntha. As I was explaining the spiritual world to them. And I said, no, it's just going to be another problem. You know, like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. You ever hear that expression before? Just like substituting one rascal for another rascal. So they said no. So then they had this revolution in Iran. The Ayatollah Khomeini. You know what an Ayatollah is? That's the Muslim version of a religion, of someone who is supposed to be a minister or a priest or a Brahmin, but actually he controls the government. He's like the king. King or emperor or something like that. It's not like the Krishna conscious system, the Varnashram system, where the Brahmanas would never want to be a king. The Brahmanas, they just want to advise the king And the Brahmanas are so detached that voluntarily they don't accumulate money. They would live... Why would a Brahmana live in a poverty-stricken situation? What do you think? Do you have any idea?
Because if they get something, they'll want more.
They'll want more. And then what'll happen is if you ask them for advice, they'll talk to you in such a way that you get more. They'll get more money. They're like businessmen. They'll praise you. In other words, you find like there's a saying that he who praises me is my enemy. So it's not that. Of course, if I praise someone, it's not that I'm their enemy. But because when someone wants them, like if you go into a shop to buy something, like an automobile dealership, then they're so nice to you. They're nicer to me than my own disciples are. Because they don't bathe my feet in the automobile dealership. But they're nice. Because, you know, they say, "Hey, Mr. Swami, how are you and the little Swamis?" I said, "No little Swamis." "I'm a sannyasi." I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm sorry." They say, "I really like your Hare Krishna movement." Really, they don't. But anyway, they say it anyway. Because they want me to buy a car. They remember in the past I bought a Chevrolet. I remember it's a Chevrolet. You know what a Chevrolet is? You don't have that here, I don't think. No. Or Ford or something like that. So when people can make money out of an exchange, then they naturally, it's called a conflict of interest. Their mind becomes polluted and they don't act in an honest way anymore. You understand? So therefore the Brahmanas, they have to be poverty stricken. And because they were poverty stricken, they could give good advice. And there was this one Brahmin, his name was Chanakya Pandit. You ever heard his name before? He was a famous person. He was the advisor for a big king, Chandragupta. You never heard of him before?
You should
study him. And so what happened is he gave Chandragupta good advice, and the king didn't agree with him, and the Brahmana said, "Okay, I'm leaving." Because he didn't have to worry about, you know, his house, selling his house, or selling his car, or anything like that. It's interesting. Like if any of you were to think of leaving Sydney, it would take a long time. You got a house, like Navadvipi, you may move up to the farm. So he's thinking, well, we got to rent our house out or do this or that. And we have to get a moving van, right? Like move all your furniture. Like if one's a brahmachari, you keep all your furniture in a box. When I was a brahmachari, everything I owned was in like one box I got from a supermarket. Because sannyasis also have too much stuff too. But as soon as the people get older, like, or married, then you have to have like many trucks. It's just like it expands. It's like a balloon. You know, it's very small when it's not blown up and you go, whoo, becomes very big. So if one has a lot of wealth, then to move from one place to another is very difficult. And so you have to stay and you have to pay your mortgage, right? You know what a mortgage is? No. A mortgage is like when you buy a house, you have to pay the bank. The bank actually owns the house. You think you own it. But the bank is the owner of the house. And if you don't pay, the bank comes and takes it away from you. So that's why the Brahmanas, they have to put themselves in more or less a poverty-stricken situation. Because if things didn't happen the way they want, okay, goodbye. No problem. One day they're here, next day they're gone. So they could actually be equal poised. They could give nice advice.
Equal poised means equal.
Equal, yes. That's good. They could just give nice advice. They didn't worry about, you know, and they weren't worried about where they were going to eat. Because they could do madhukari. You know what madhukari is? Madhukari means the Brahmin can go anywhere and go house to house and say, "One japati, one roti, one piece of pizza." And that's called madhukari. And they get, and so they were not worried, like Madhavendra Puri, so many examples of that. So Chanakapanda, getting back to that story, he was actually able to just leave because he disagreed with the king, and he gave pure advice to the king, and that was it. Of course, later on, he worked for the king's enemy, but there's a whole story about that in Indian history. So really, that's what we need to keep people in government from becoming contaminated. Like there's that story in the Bhagavatam about Venu Maharaj. Venu was, anyway, it's an interesting story. Once upon a time, there was his father. His father's name was Maharaj Anga. And he was a nice king, but he was married to the daughter of fear personified. So usually the son takes after the mother and the daughter takes after the what? The father. Just like you're like your father and you're like your mother, right? Not that you will be a mother, but anyway. But it's just a similar psychological characteristics. So there's Vena. Anyway, he was born, the mother was the daughter of fear personified, which means she had the characteristics of her father, and the son also got her characteristics. And Marjanga, he was a nice guy. There was no problem with him. So they had this wonderful little kid, Vena. And when he would go play with his friends, he would kill them. You know, he'd go and play soccer, you know, have a soccer game, his mother would drop him off for a soccer game, not really. But whatever games they played, his mother would say, you know, why don't you invite your friends in for dinner? And he said, they're all dead, Mom. And she said, how'd that happen? He said, I killed them. So he was a nice person. So anyway, so he was very bad because he had his mother's characteristics. And so what happened is that his father, Marjanga, he decided to take advantage of the opportunity of the situation. He said, well, this is a good excuse to take sannyas. It's Chanaka Pandit, also, we mentioned Chanaka Pandit said that if you have problems at home, if you Priya Vadana, if your wife speaks not pleasingly, that's a message for all you ladies who are married. Priya Vadana, Aranya Tena Gantavyam Yata Aranyu Yata Graham. You should head for the forest. So that means that's Chanaka Banda says that. He said because your home is already a forest, so you might as well go where the regular lions and tigers are. So anyway, this is a verse Chanaka Banda. So this Marajanga, he understood that his kid wasn't such a nice kid. He said it's a horrible kid, but he's giving me an excuse to go to the forest. Why did he want to go to the forest? Not because he wanted a camping trip, but because he wanted to just become immersed or absorbed in Krishna. So he went to the forest. But then his son, the problem was his son, Vena, became the king. And that was horrible. Because Vena, not only was he killing his friends there, but he was torturing the brahmanas. He wouldn't let the brahmanas perform sacrifices. He said that the brahmanas should worship him as God. Just like Hiranyakashipu here. He said the brahmanas should worship him as God. And so what happened with the brahmanas? They all got together and they had a coup. You know, they had a revolution. They killed Vena by chanting a mantra. Vena Machu Swaha. Of course, it doesn't work if you use that on a devotee. Just like there was a king once. This is another story. You like stories. There was a king once in Jagannath Puri. Well, let's tell us about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There was a king of Jagannath Puri. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was the court judge, magistrate. And he found out that the king was taking all the money from the hundi and spending it on himself. You know what a hundi is? Okay, the rest of you know. Hundi is the donation. You ever seen a box in front of the deities with a little slot in it when you put money in? And so the king was taking all the money out of that box and just getting new clothes for himself, new cars, whatever at that time they were getting. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being the judge, he took that money from the king and made him offer something like 60 offerings to Lord Jagannath every day. That's nice, isn't it? But then the king got so upset because all of his money was being gone. It was all actually Lord Jagannath's money. So the king got so upset, what he did was that he had a sacrifice to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So for 1 month, the Brahmins were performing Swaha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, kill, kill, Swaha. But then after that month was over, the king's son died. So if you try to curse or kill a Vaishnava, the same thing happens to you. So don't try that. So, getting back to the story of Vena. So they killed Vena with this sacrifice. And then Vena, of course, he died. But then there was no king. And that was a problem, because when there's no king, guess what happens? All the criminals come out. Just like in Fiji, before we had the present government, the last person, won't mention his name, it's too impious, the criminals, the Fijian people were coming out and robbing, and everyone was scared of living in their homes, isn't it? And they had to put these big iron bars. Even we had one of my disciples in this house, they cut through thick iron bars like this and broke into his house. I mean, they probably had like a torch or something like that. And they broke in. So then the present government, they're very strong. What they do, if they catch any criminal, do you know what they do? They beat them. And they take them to the army base and make them run around without any clothes on. You know, just underwear. That's what he does. Because where there's no good king, then the criminals can just do anything. Or where they're... I mean, like in India, for example, now, it takes so long to have your court case. I was just reading about the problem with rapes in India. That even now they're... Of course, they're going after more people, but only 20% of the cases actually are prosecuted. That's bad, isn't it? And so 80% of the people just getting off completely free. So anyway, so the Brahmanas, getting back to the story of King Vena, they understood that things were very bad. There were so many thieves, there was dust storms. There were so many thieves running into the stores and stealing. I saw that when I was young. There was one riot. I was in a city in the United States called Miami Beach. We had a temple there. And there was a riot in one section of the city. And there was flames leaping up into the air because they were going into all the stores and burning things. Do you ever have anything like that here?
There was once.
We had really, I was watching, there's flames going up hundreds and hundreds of feet into the air. And it was just hellish. We couldn't move from where we were because there was this big riot. That means the government's not strong. So anyway, in King Vena's, after King Vena was killed, it was like that. So what the Brahmanas did is they thought, we have to make another king. Because Brahmanas would never take a position of kingship because it would destroy their Brahminical stature, their Brahminical position. So they took Vena's body and churned it. Like genes, you know, genetic engineering. You might have heard about that. And out came the sinful activities first. It was like a small person. His name was Bahuka. Sounds like a Fiji name, doesn't it? It does. It actually has the same sort of intonation as a Fiji name. Bahuka. So he was... Actually, Prabhupada said the name means in Sanskrit, sit down and behave yourself. I don't know if it means anything in Hindi, but in Sanskrit, probably. It means, sit down, you rascal. It's a bhuka. So anyway, it's like bula, bula, bhuka. So anyway, so out came the sinful reactions first. You know, they got rid of the bad genes. And then it kept churning. And then an incarnation of the Lord came out. Prithu Maharaj and his wife Archie. Interesting story. It shows that they were expert in genetic engineering and gene splicing and everything like that. Isn't it? I mean, it's really amazing how advanced they were in the Vedic culture. They could do that. So anyway, so then the Brahmins established Prithu Maharaj as king. And that was very nice. And then the Brahmins never took the position. That was the point I was making. So anyway, so that's what we need in the government in order to avoid people becoming like demons. We need real Brahman. You know what a Brahman is? A Brahman is someone who is absorbed in the absolute truth, Krishna. And he's sama dhammak dapaksho jam shanti rajavam eva chag yana vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. He is equal poised, and you know what that is. He's equal in happiness and distress. He doesn't need anything. He's happy with whatever Krishna gives him. He's not thinking, I need a new iPhone or connect Xbox. Right? That's not Brahman. That's something less. That's mode of passion. Mode of passion is born of unlimited desires. You never have enough. So much wealth is so many computers are mine today, so many more will be mine tomorrow. Like described by Randy Kashipu, he was stealing everybody's wives. You didn't think he'd be satisfied with one wife, isn't it? But he's just thinking, stealing people, or, you know, Ravana doing the same thing. Ravana had so many wives, but he had to steal Sita Devi. So he's never satisfied, burns like fire, these desires. So, anyway, so that's what we need. We need Krishna conscious Brahmins. And Prabhupada actually was asked one time, do you want to become president of the United States? And Prabhupada said, no, I want to become advisor to the president. And of course, Prabhupada couldn't have become president of the United States. It wouldn't have been legal. But in any case, that's the point. We want to advise. And actually, another point is that when Prabhupada started, there was a political party that was started in America, ISKCON political party. It was called In God We Trust. You heard about that before? So they were running for office, and Prabhupada stopped it because they were getting contaminated. Because being a politician, you have to go around kissing a lot of babies. Do they do that here?
Yes.
Shaking a lot of hands, you know, actually saying things. Let's say if someone, a devotee ran for office here and became the mayor of Sydney or something like that, then you'd have to open up slaughterhouses. You know, if there was a new slaughterhouse, you'd have to cut the ribbon on the slaughterhouse to open. You'd have to do so many things that are against our principles just because you're in the position. So the devotees became contaminated. Prabhupada stopped it all, the In God We Trust party, because he didn't want the devotees to become politicians. This is a very important point. So anyway, so this is how we prevent the government from becoming like it is at present. And it's interesting that in America, there's one problem going on right now. The government has not passed the budget. Budget means they've not allowed any money to be spent, you know, because every year they have to pass a budget. So they haven't passed a budget, and so so many people are out of work. But the interesting thing is the government officials, they're still allowed to get their salaries. I mean, the Congress, you know, like you have the parliament here, and everybody, they're still getting salaries. You would think that they shouldn't get salaries if they're not letting anyone else get paid. And that way they'll come to a solution very quickly, right? But these fools and rascals, you know, and they're cheating the people. They're just interested in getting themselves reelected. Another point, you know, this whole election thing, it's just based on Shudras picking the biggest Shudra. Because what are Shudras attracted to? What do you think? Money and just physical beauty. I saw an interesting poster here the other day about there was some election going on and we were driving by. And it was a joke probably. It says, vote for me, and there was a picture of a dog. You seen that? It said, vote for the council, city council or something. And there was actually a picture of it, like some sort of dog's face on the picture. So this is the present leaders. They just don't have dog's faces, but they have dog's psychology. Because people vote for people because of how they look, basically. like, or what they promise, you know, how much they promise you, which they don't do anyway when they once they get elected. Like in America, many years ago, there were two people running for election. One's name was Richard Nixon, and the other one was Kennedy. And Richard Nixon, he looked like, you know, basically looked really bad. So what happened is that they went on TV for a debate. You know what a debate is? When people are just arguing with each other about who would do the most in a sophisticated way. And then when all the women saw Kennedy and how handsome he was and how pretty his wife was, they just went, wow, we should vote for him. Isn't it like in India, your Bollywood stars are more popular than your politicians? We went to Ujjain, the opening of the temple there, and Rani Mukherjee came. Maybe you've heard of her before. She's very popular. She was. I don't know so much anymore. And then the whole Indian army had to come out. They were posted on all the buildings, you know, with their guns. And then some politician came and they couldn't care about it. So in Kali Yuga, people elect others based upon how much they promise to gratify your senses and what they look like. Pretty bad, isn't it? What do you think, Keshav? Would you vote for someone just because they look good? Okay, anyway, so this is what's being discussed here. And the present system, yes, the government is actually taxing us more and more by direct and indirect taxation. Direct taxation is, you know, your taxes. Indirect taxation is inflation, where the money becomes worth less and less and less. There's actually always inflation every year. But sometimes you don't notice it because all the currencies are all connected. So, you know, you'll think, oh, the Australian dollar is worth more this year. But not really, because all the currencies are worth less. And all the money is based upon just the I turned it off. That's right. Just based upon a promise to pay. It's not based on the gold standard anymore. So people lose faith in the currency. And one time in before World War II in Germany, they lost faith in the German currency and they had to bring barrels and barrels of money just to pay for one loaf of bread. So the present system just is not a practical system. Anyway, rogues and plunderers and meat eaters and all sorts of problems. So any questions or comments about any of these things? Questions, comments, problems, issues?
Even it is mentioned that those possess wealth, they can be called brahmanas. And they can,
yeah, that's what Kali Yuga says. Yeah. You know, simply by dress, yeah, someone will be understood to be a brahman Kali Yuga.
Those who talk too much.
And the justice is not really equal in Kali Yuga. In the Bhagavatam it says if you have money, then you won't be prosecuted by the government if you do some crime, because you can hire a lawyer. A lawyer is a professional liar. I hope Neela Madhava is not watching this class. But he knows that. I mean, they lie for you based upon your paying them. So if you can have enough money, you can kill someone and you hire a lawyer and the lawyer will get you out. At least in America it works like that.
Even the smart talker, they would become a natural.
Yeah. There was one famous football player in America who killed his wife. And he hired one of the top lawyers. It cost him millions of dollars. And he didn't have to go to jail for it. What do you think, Keshav? Prabhupada did call lawyers liars. So, any other questions or comments?
L-I-A-R-S
instead of L-A-Y.
Or even
L-A-W-Y-E-R.
L-A-L stands for lawyers are liars.
Yeah, that's what Prabhupada would pronounce that in his Indian English, he would say. Liars. We have to go to lawyers. You know, that's how Prabhupada pronounced lawyers. And, I mean, we have some devotee lawyers that are very nice, but...
They're not liars.
But they're not liars. They're devotees. But I even have one... one of my friends is a lawyer in America, and what he does is whenever there's a car accident, he has an airplane. Some of them have helicopters. And then they land on the site where there's a car accident, even before sometimes the emergency medical people get there. And they sign them up to sue, you know, you understand, for a lawsuit.
For ambulance
chases, too. Yeah, you have them here?
Not so much.
Not so much. In America, I mean, big lawsuits, much bigger lawsuits in America. Anyway, so this is the present legal system, and how they deal with criminals. You know, it's just not good. Of course, we don't want to do like in the Muslim countries. Like if someone, you know, does something a little wrong, you sentence them to 1,000 lashes and 20 years in prison. I mean, I just read about someone in Iran who just like criticized the Quran a little bit, and he was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 1,000 lashes. I mean, that's a little heavy. But if someone steals, murders, or what to speak of rape, I mean, then they're punished immediately. You know, if someone attacks a woman like that, the Manu Samhita says that basically their private parts should be cut off and they should walk into the sun and die. That's actually the punishment for that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So one may think this is very harsh, but at the same time, it prevents it happening again. Because why should people be victimized? I mean, nowadays everyone has to have so many locks on the door. You know, double locks, triple locks, and still you were an alarm system. Just like we have an alarm system here. There's these motion detectors in the corner, right? But in the old days, you could feel free. You'd leave your doors open. Okay, no other questions or comments? All right, everybody has to get to work. So thank you all. It's been nice being here with all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis and Prabhus and Prabhis.